Greetings and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you all on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers that are joining us here in person today and at home via our live stream. I'd like to welcome you here, everyone, this morning. I am the Reverend Heather Hicks, and I will be leading in worship this morning, along with Kim Wise, who will be our liturgist today, and Lynn Meyer, who will be playing the piano and the organ today. Reverend Gowan is on vacation this week, for those of you who are visiting via our live stream or even here in our sanctuary this morning, and he will be back on Tuesday. So if you want to hear him preach, you can come back next week. If you are visiting with us in the sanctuary this morning, I invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find at the end of your pews and put those in the offering plates, which are close to the entrances to the sanctuary. And if you're visiting us at home, please feel free to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call our church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements this morning before we get started in our worship service. The flowers this morning are lovingly given by Diana Westfall, honoring the work of our elders and our deacons, and we are most grateful for every single one of those people today. Also today, right after worship, you're all invited to an ice cream social. If you were wondering what those tables out on the front lawn were all about, that's for our ice cream social right after worship during our fellowship time. This Friday is the Uptown Fourth Friday event, which means that it's time to ring the bell. For those of you who are new to our church, our community has a Fourth Friday event for the community, and we hang out outside and invite children and families from our community to come and ring our bell on those Fourth Fridays. It's a great community outreach project that our evangelism team is working on. And if you are interested in helping out with this event and volunteering, you can see John McElhenney, Gigi Elliott, or Debbie Neeler Bice for more information on that. Our farmers market ministry is still going strong. We had quite a few people out yesterday. It started off a little slower, I think, because of the Father's Day weekend. But we still had quite a few families and kids out playing with the bubbles and the checker game, and we just had a great time. And when you go out for the ice cream social, you'll see some of the pictures that the kids drew on our sidewalks outside. If you're interested in helping out with the farmers market ministry, you can see me after worship or contact me outside of church, or you can sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in our sign-up book just outside the sanctuary doors here. Ladies' night. It's ladies' night coming up on Tuesday, June 21st at 6:30 p.m. The ladies are going to Rusty Bucket. So any of you ladies who are interested in gathering together for some fellowship and some good food, please make sure you contact Diana Westfall, and her phone number is in the bulletin this morning, or you can get it in our registry for more information on that. And I do believe she needs to take reservations so she knows how many people are coming. The summer edition of These Days devotionals are now available. You can pick up a copy in the gathering area, and they're available while supplies last. So if this is something you generally pick up, you might want to make sure you grab it on your way out this morning. It is now time for us to begin our worship, and we will listen to Lynn as she plays the prelude. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Early in the morning, the Lord hears our voice. Let all who take refuge in the Lord rejoice.
Let them sing for joy, that they may exalt in the Lord forever.
For the Lord blesses the righteousness. Come, let us draw near and worship the Lord of hosts. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. Merciful and gracious God, we walk in a way that is not good. We follow our own devices. We ignore your image in ourselves and in our neighbors. Do not turn away from us, O God, but hear our cry for blessing. Lead us out of the tombs we inhabit. Guide us into your light, so that we may walk in your way. Amen. You belong to Christ and are heirs of the promise of freedom. In full assurance of justification by grace through faith, the authority of God's beloved Son, I declare to you the absolute forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, one God.
Thank you.
may be seated. I'm going to invite our young friends at home. And since I don't see any real young friends here, all the young friends right down in here to be a part of our worship this morning. And the reason I ask us to do that is not just because we're still recovering from COVID, but because sometimes we have to look at things from a different perspective. And today, on Father's Day, I want each and every one of us, and especially you kids at home, to remember a time when you were asked to do something that you really didn't want to do. Because I think we've all had, every single person in here has had a moment where they had to do something that they really didn't want to do. For our adults, they have to go into work on Monday. But when we're kids, sometimes we have to clean our room, or maybe we got to help mom and dad with the meal that's being prepared, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Maybe we have chores around the house. There's always something. Be nice to your brother or your sister. There are lots of things we really don't want to do. But why do you think your mom and dad have asked you to do that? Now, I heard every excuse in the book growing up. Well, if you want to earn some allowance, then you've got to do your chores. Or it's your room, you clean it up. Or you're a part of this family and we all work together, so let's get it taken care of. But I can tell you with absolute assurity that the only reason your parents ask you to do those things is to help you. It's to help you so that as you grow up, or if you're already grown up, you're not quite grown up yet, is to help you so that you can do things when you get older. And every day, we're getting older. I can tell you that my son, when he was really little, he did not like having to take those pom-poms and put them in the milk jug. He hated it because he couldn't do it. He was so frustrated because he couldn't do it. But one day, he did it. And then he kept trying, and he did it again. Sometimes we have to try something over and over and over and over and over and over again until we get it. And it's the same in our spiritual life. Sometimes we're going through a really tough time, but God, who is our spiritual parent, our spiritual father, says to us, you still need to do it. Why do we still need to do it? Because you'll see. You'll see. And you know what? As I've gone on my spiritual journey, God is right 100% of the time. When he says, you need to do this, and I go, no, please don't make me do it. God says, yep, you're going to do it. Okay, if I have to. Every parent who is in here has seen that eye roll, haven't you? Okay, if I have to. Our scripture for this morning talks about people just like you and me who really, really did not want to do it. And so we're going to talk about that and how God, for us, is so blessed when he sees that we are growing in our spiritual life, in our social life, in every aspect of our lives, because we have done what God has asked us to do. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for giving us tasks that sometimes we really don't want to do, because we know, oh God, that you are helping us to grow and to see the world through your eyes from a different perspective. And we thank you, oh God, that we can grow in our faith even if we still feel like small children in your eyes. We thank you, O God, for our young friends who are constantly showing us to see things from a different perspective. And we pray that you would be with us during this service, that we might continue to grow and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 28 through 31. And this is Jesus who is speaking. So listen for the word of the Lord. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, "Go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of the Lord.
I've got good friends here today. Thank you for coming. And Kim can verify that I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody else here today with this message. When I was a teenager, and I'm sure every one of you can remember when you were a teenager, and your parents started asking you to have more responsibilities around the house, I guarantee you gave that eye roll to your parents, right? Because you were involved in something else. You had something you'd rather be doing, right? Every single one of us has something we would rather be doing than going and doing something that our parents want us to do. And I can remember one very specific day when I had probably just turned 13, 12 or 13, so my son's age. And my father said, "I need you to go down to the pantry and get me some spaghetti sauce because we're out up here and I need to get dinner started." So I rolled my eyes, "Okay, Dad," and I went down and there was nothing there. So I just came back upstairs. And my dad put his hands on his hips and said, "Did you look hard enough? I want you to go back downstairs and don't come back up without the spaghetti sauce." So again, I rolled my eyes and went down the stairs. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I moved cans out of the way to see if maybe it was hiding back behind the cans or if maybe it had gotten stuck back behind the pasta. I looked everywhere in that pantry for that pasta sauce. And I knew if I went back upstairs without that pasta sauce, I was going to be in big trouble. Because any time my dad said, "If you don't come back up here without what I need, then you'll be in trouble. You'll be grounded or you'll have more chores to do." I knew he meant business. So I go back up with my tail between my legs and I go, "Dad, it's not down there. There's no sauce down there." And he said, "If I go down there and I find that spaghetti sauce, we're going to have a discussion, you and I." My dad is a betting man and he only bets if he knows he can win. You could just ask my mom. She owes him like a million kisses. So he goes down, and I hear him puttering around down there, and I am terrified for my life. Not that I needed to be, because he's my father, but you know, when they put the fear in you, you know you're going to get it. So he comes back up the stairs, and he's got a very heavy tromp, so I'm like freaking out the whole time. And he gets to the top of the stairs, and he's got his hand behind his back, and he goes, "Young lady, we're going to have a discussion." And he reaches out with an empty hand and tickles me. I am thankful that my dad was humble enough to know when he was wrong and to accept the fact that I had given my all and had tried. When we look at our scripture for today, there's something very interesting about this scripture, because the scripture happens after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus has actually gone to the temple, and he's preaching and teaching there, and then he is questioned by the chief priests and the elders. And we all know that the chief priests and the elders kind of had it in for him, because they didn't like what he was preaching and teaching. And there's a main reason they didn't like what he was preaching and teaching, and that was because they had the power in that time. They had power over their communities, and they'd been given that power, they felt, by God through their direct lineage from the house of Levi. So they wondered, who has given this person authority in the house of God, in the temple? Who has given this person authority? They wanted to know. So they asked him, who has given you this authority? And they challenged him. And Jesus, just before our passage, talks about John the Baptist and how they didn't accept what he had said, what he had told them, and taken it to heart. Instead, they had him imprisoned and executed. And then we get this little parable about the father and two sons. Now, before I go too far into this passage, I want to remind us that nowhere in the passage does Jesus condemn the second son. Because we have the first son who tells his father to his face, no, I'm not going to do this. But then he goes and does it. And then we have the second son who says, okay, I'll go do it. And then probably rolls his eyes after his father walks away and says, yeah, that's not going to happen. Because I guarantee you, every one of you have probably had that experience. One of those two experiences, if not both. The father loves both of his sons. But he's trying to teach something. You see, for those of you kids at home who may not know this, they didn't have that kind of the kind of stuff that we do back in Jesus' time. They didn't have extracurricular activities like swimming or sports or things like that. You played games with your friends in your local town, but you helped with the family business and the family farm. That was your responsibility, was to help out. And so for these two young men, there's something going on here between them and the father. You see, Jesus is trying to tell them that there are people who say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow what you're telling me to do. I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to go my own way. And then something changes in them. What was it that that first son saw? Did he see his father working really, really hard out in the fields? Or maybe he saw one of his friends who was working and he felt guilty. Or maybe he realized that one day he was going to be solely responsible for this space himself. But something happens, and he goes, and he does what he's told. And I can guarantee you that when he made that decision to go, his perspective was completely changed. He saw things through his father's eyes. He could see why the project needed to be done. He could see his role in that project. But what about the second son? Obviously, he knew he was loved and cared for and provided for. Maybe he was even afraid that if he said no, he'd be in trouble. But he just refuses to gain a new perspective and continues to live with his feeling of, well, I know better than my dad. Because I know we've all had that experience. We've all felt like we knew better or our project was more important. Every single one of us. There's a storybook. It came out probably within the last 10, 15 years or so. I'm not going to spoil the whole book, but there's a scene in the book that I think is so important to this story. And the book is called The Shack. Has anybody read The Shack? Yeah. In the story, there's a man who goes through this incredibly traumatic experience, he and his family. And he begins to doubt himself and his faith. And he's always had a questionable faith to begin with. But he, in the midst of going through this trauma, he gets a letter from Papa. Now, in the story, Papa is very important because Papa is the name that his wife and children use when they are talking about God. And last Father's Day, we talked about the importance of the name Abba in the Lord's Prayer, where we talk about this intimacy with God. And so there's this intimacy of that name, Papa. Now, he thinks it's a big joke. Maybe one of his neighbors is playing on him. So he goes to the location in question. And here he begins a test of his faith unlike any other. Because he gets to meet God in all God's forms. Papa in the story, at least at the beginning of the story when we first meet Papa, is Aunt Jemima. And she's got dinner waiting. And so they sit and they talk. But during his several days stay there, he also gets to talk to Jesus. And they get to walk on the water together, which is kind of fun. Who wouldn't want to do that with Jesus, right? Jesus also gets to talk to the Holy Spirit. But as part of this journey, this call back to God, the man, Mac is his name, Mac, gets to go and meet God in the form of wisdom. And so he approaches this cave, and inside is a throne. And wisdom, in the form of a woman, visual woman, sits on the throne. And she says, it's time for judgment. And he falls down on his knees and begs for forgiveness. And she says, we're not here to talk about your sins, although we could. You have been forgiven. I forgive you. But we're going to talk about judgment. Because you have someone that you cannot forgive. And it is at this moment that Mac lashes out in this tirade of all the hateful things that are going on in the world. Why, oh why, isn't God doing anything about it? I'm sure that there are moments, and have been moments over the last few years, when we can point fingers at individuals or groups of people and say, why isn't God doing something about it? Right? Sound familiar? Okay, good. I'm seeing some head nods. Yes, we've all been there in the last couple of years. And I'm sure even now we could do that. And so wisdom says to him, all right, you want to play God? Here you go. And she invites him up to the throne. And she stands next to him and she says, okay, here you go. And she shows him an image of his two children. And she goes down next to each one of them and she says, well, Your daughter doesn't do her homework. She backmouths you. She's rude to you. And your son, he can't seem to get his grades right either, and he's sneaking out on you, and you know it. Who are you going to get rid of? Who's got to die? Now that wakes Mac up real fast. Which of his children deserve to be punished? And he can't. She says, you have to. You have to. He says, I can't. She says, you have to. He says, take me instead. I'll die. I'll go. And she says, now you get it. Now you get it. Because God sent his only son to us. Jesus said, let me go. Because of God's amazing love for each one of us. Even those chief priests and elders, Jesus loved them. Even Judas, Jesus loved him. Over Holy Week this year, there was a beautiful group groupings of artwork that were posted on social media. If you're interested, you can go to my page and see it. I've posted it. But in the images that are there, each one is an image of Christ washing someone's feet. And there are so many beautiful pictures there. To start off with, they have a picture of Jesus washing Trump's feet and Jesus washing Biden's feet. And then there are pictures of Jesus washing a nurse's feet, a policeman's feet, a gay person's feet, a skateboarder's feet, an alcoholic's feet, a mother with her children's feet. There's even a beautiful picture of Jesus with a little child with all of his feet in the both of his feet in the water. There's also a beautiful picture of Jesus sitting with someone next to the water because they just can't put their feet in the water. It is so beautiful. How many of us have said, I know better than they do? I can guarantee you every single one of you in here has done that, because I've done that. I've said, I know better than they do. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know better than they do. We have to be willing to humble ourselves like Jesus did. Because right after this beautiful story where Jesus is talking to the chief priests and saying, hey, look, these people over here whom you're condemning, they already know what it's like in heaven. They have already gotten that perception because they've been able to see things from a different perspective. Right after he talks to them, to those chief priests and elders, he tells them the story of a father and a vineyard. And in this story, all of the workers have killed people that the father has sent out. And eventually the father says, well, if they won't listen to my managers, maybe they'll listen to my son. You see, Jesus knew what was coming, and he knew who his accused were. He knew those who were going to accuse him. They were the people staring at him at that very moment. And yet he still had love and compassion for them. As we go into the next week, into Father's Day, let us remember the love that God shines down on us every single day, the love like that father who loved both of his sons unconditionally. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for a new perspective. We pray, O God, that you would help us and continue to guide us so that we might see so many different perspectives that we can honestly have compassion for our neighbors. All this we ask in the name of your most precious and holy Son. Amen. You may be seated. We have several we want to lift up in prayer and have concerns about. I would like to share a joy of my own. Today is the anniversary, 13th anniversary of my ordination. So I am very tickled. Thank you. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we have many on our hearts today, many people who have physically fallen. And we pray, O God, that you would be with them, help their ailing bodies in whichever form they need it. For those who are continuing treatments with cancer or are in hospice care, we pray for them. For those who have lost loved ones and who continue to grieve, we pray for them. for the joys of life, O God, birthdays and anniversaries and fun, exciting things, for transitions and for meetings, O God. We give you thanks. Many, O God, will be meeting this week who have not seen each other in 2 years. We pray that their work on behalf of the Presbyterian Church will go well, and that they will constantly hold you in their thoughts and in their minds and prayers as they go to do their work. Almighty and loving God, we celebrate Juneteenth this day, and we remember with sadness, with regret, with anger, our part in slavery, in racism. We pray, O God, that you would open our eyes to see a world where all of your children are loved and deserving of love. Oh God, each of our tasks is different, but our mission is the same: to be witnesses of your love for the world. Oh God, it's difficult to do this when we are surrounded by pain and hatred and anger and negative things, violence, tyranny. We pray, O God, that we would see your love magnified each day in the world around us, so that we might be beacons of hope in darkness. We thank you, O God, as we celebrate Father's Day today, for beacons of hope for us. Maybe they are our own fathers and grandfathers. Maybe they are uncles or brothers. Maybe they are members of our church family who may not have any children but have taken us to be their children. We thank you for their light. We ask that you continue to let that light shine, for we know it is your light shining through them. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
may the God of grace and love be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.